Now, take out your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 7. We're into the third week of our series on courage about Jesus' invitation to an audacious faith. Because life requires a lot of courage. And we need courage, not because we don't have it, but because we're required to use it so often. And if you haven't heard the previous two messages, I invite you to go onto our webpage or onto our church app and listen to it there. But this week, we're focusing on the candor of courage, because the candor of courage will help us share the gospel through our presence, our words, and our actions. Let's find out more. Here in Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36, follow along as we hear the good news. One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to eat with him, and after he entered the Pharisee's home, he took his place at the table. Meanwhile, a woman from the city, a sinner, discovered that Jesus was dining in the Pharisee's house, and she brought perfumed oil in a vase made of alabaster. And standing behind him at his feet and crying, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured the oil on them. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw what was happening, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. He would know that she is a sinner." Jesus replied, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher, speak," he said. "Well, a certain lender had two debtors," Jesus said, "and one owed enough money to pay 500 people for a day's work, and the other owed enough for 50. And when they couldn't pay, the lender forgave the debts of both of them. Which of them will love him more?" And Simon replied, "Well, I suppose the one who had the largest debt canceled." And Jesus said, "You have judged correctly." And Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your home, you didn't give me water for my feet, but she wet my feet with tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I came in. And you didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has poured perfumed oil on my feet. This is why I tell you that her many sins have been forgiven. So she has shown great love. The one who is forgiven little loves little." And then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And the other table guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this person that even forgives sins?" And so Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, may your Holy Spirit lead us with grace and candor to bring reconciliation and salvation into our lives and the lives around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes we have to have tough conversations. Who likes to have a tough conversation? Nobody. Really? Why am I not surprised? In fact, if I was to ask you, what would you rather do instead of having a difficult conversation with someone, I'd probably get a lot of answers that came out about just about anything. Am I right? You know, here in the South, sometimes when we face that, we just say, "Oh, bless your heart." You know, for some of us, this is just something that's uncomfortable. But for some of others of us, this is the worst, and we will do whatever it takes to avoid this kind of situation. Yet the words that we say require probably more courage than the actions that we take. In fact, we spent a whole series last month talking about how important our words are and how a little word can start a fire that turns into a forest fire. But we have to watch what we say and how we say it. Not all the time. Most of our conversations are easygoing with people we know, people we like, and they're not really that important. But sometimes, in contrast, when we need to, we avoid those difficult conversations like they're the COVID itself. And I know there's been times in my life when I've avoided them. When I've lacked the courage, the verbal courage to speak up, to say what I should have said or what needed to be said, and as a result, it's hurt relationships, it's compromised my integrity, it's sabotaged my goals. That's why what we do and what we say requires incredible courage. And the candor of courage allows us to follow up with someone, allows us to attempt reconciliation, allows us to speak to injustice, and allows us to help others when there is a crisis that requires our intervention. It's specifically in moments like these that the candor of courage allows us to be open and honest, direct and frank in both our speech and in our conversation. Because when we speak with candor, we're taking a risk. We're risk hurting ourselves, or we're risk things not going right. But candor of courage allows us to set aside that worry and that fear so that we can help another person. So that we can be honest and earnest in a way that states facts plainly, observes actions openly, and confronts gently with the tenderness of love. Who wants to be able to do that? I know I do. And candor is our capacity to take risks in our conversations in order to help someone or to help an organization that can only be served through an honest assessment of what's happening. Candor is spoken courage and enables us to better manage those difficult moments and conversations in our life. And in today's scripture, Jesus demonstrates the courage of a candid conversation. And in this, doing so, he builds a deeper relationship. He changes perspectives. He alters the climate of the room, and he encourages the people around us, around him. And Jesus had to do this. Jesus spoke to important matters in life. And so in order to do this, in order to do his mission, in order to speak good news to the poor and release to the captives and sight to the blind and liberation to the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the year of the Lord's presence to the least and the last and the lost, he had to be able to speak deeply and directly and freely. And on this occasion, he's having dinner with the Pharisee. The Pharisee's name is Simon, and as they're eating, the meal's interrupted by a woman who everyone else knows has led a sinful life. We don't know what her sin was. Luke doesn't go into that, but everybody knows that she is a sinner. But she approaches Jesus with a depth of humility that demonstrates the severity of her pain and how lost she was before she met Jesus. She weeps with an intensity that her tears are enough to wash Jesus' feet. And she takes her hair as a towel to dry them. And then perfumed oil, which is expensive today. I can only imagine how expensive it was then. And she lathers it on his feet. And then she kisses his feet. Not once, but she keeps on kissing them. Now, in Jesus' day, you know, it was in the Middle East, it was standard for the host to offer something for the guests to wash and dry their feet. It was considered good hospitality. Yet for this woman, in washing Jesus' feet, it was an act of sustained repentance and gratitude. It was a way of her telling everyone and confessing that, yes, I've been a sinner and my life is broken, yet this man has offered me forgiveness and hope. This woman is completely candid about her own life. She's not whispering in the altar her secret sins. but she is on display for everyone at the dinner. And she shows a deep desire for an overdue reset in her life. And in her vulnerability, she moves toward Jesus and the experience of community. Not just with Jesus, but with anyone who identifies of having been a sinner. That their life was broken. That resonates with the words of amazing grace that I once was lost, but now I'm found. The trouble is that Simon, the Pharisee, the host, is watching all of this happen. And, you know, he's thinking to himself, if Jesus really was who all these other people thought he was, if he really was this great prophet, he would know that she is a sinner. He would know how bad she really was. But he doesn't say any of that. He bites his tongue. You know, sometimes it's good not to say anything when you don't have anything good to say, right? We've learned that. But sometimes we hide behind that. Instead of just not saying something that we'll later regret, sometimes our silence can be a way to avoid these difficult conversations. It can be a way to isolate ourselves from someone. Or it can be a way to separate ourselves so that we can stand in judgment, feeling superior. In Simon's decision not to say anything or to share his thoughts is consistent with his judgment of the woman at Jesus' feet. See, it's in Simon's understanding that he follows the law. He's good. He hasn't really sinned that much. He doesn't really have much to be forgiven of. Because he separates himself from the people that don't think like he thinks. He separates himself from those who he doesn't think is good. And so he doesn't want to pollute his life. It's a way that he can mentally distance himself from her, but it's also a way that he can stand in judgment of her and feel superior over her and over Jesus. While in contrast, Jesus sees her as a child of God. And through forgiveness, he moves closer to her. And through the candor and courage that he has to offer, he connects and builds a relationship. And when we use the candor of courage to reach out and attempt to build relationships, we can lead people into a space of mutuality and respect. And Jesus has done that with her, and so then he does it with Simon. Jesus has a truth about him, and that truth will set you free. And the truth of the candor resonates with us as Christians to be candid people and have the ability to speak truth into the reality without fear, because we know that God is with us. Even if that reality reflects poorly on us, even if things don't turn out like we want, we're extending a relationship with ourselves and a relationship with Christ to another person in that conversation. And this requires courage, because it's uncomfortable and we want to avoid it. But candor is not ugly. It is not mean. It does not name the uncomfortable in an uncomfortable way. Instead, when we're candid, our candor is rooted in the love of Christ that links both kindness and compassion. So when Jesus speaks up to Simon, he does so by offering an invitation into the conversation. Simon, I have something to say. And Simon is waiting for these wise words. And he says, speak, Jesus, tell me what you got. And Jesus shares the parable of the debtor and the people that owe him money and how he forgives them. And then Jesus finds common ground when Simon says, oh, the one who owed the greatest debt, he must have more thankfulness. Jesus doesn't exhort him. He doesn't say, oh, great answer. He says, you're correct. And he enters into dialogue with Simon, saying, the one who owed the most is the most thankful. And this woman here, she has a lot to be thankful for. See, what you didn't do, she did. You didn't offer me a place to wash my feet, but she has washed them with her tears. You didn't offer to dry my feet. She has dried them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but she has kissed my feet continuously. And you didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed me with oil. And she has done this out of thankfulness. She has done this because her sins have been forgiven. Because she has received salvation. Because she is being healed and made whole. She has now become the hero of the story of what Simon didn't do. But rather than dwelling on the darkness of her sin and of her past, Jesus lifts up the beauty of her gratitude that arises from her forgiveness. And Jesus reframes the hospitality that she shows, and he keeps the animosity of Simon at bay. Now, it's important to remember that Jesus didn't embarrass Simon. He brought him along with him. And this is going to be a challenge for us to be candid and to be kind with our courage. Because courage is disruptive, and people will want to draw us into their drama. And when we offer candid conversations and we don't participate in the drama, but we offer solutions to it, we're going to be met with criticism and sometimes anger. Because people who are unfamiliar with healthy relationships and a functioning way of life without all the drama don't know how to go forward to deal with the complexities of life. Drama is easier. But courage enables us to be unbothered by those who want to undermine our conversations. And courage prevents personal insecurities from derailing us from the hard risks, but the necessary risks of working for reconciliation and restoration. And Jesus offers us the opportunity to grow with God in love of neighbor and one another. And the courage of candor is required for this. Because we are imperfect people, living and working and ministering to imperfect people, and we all need forgiveness. None of us have it all right, so let's make room for grace around. It was a candid conversation that Jesus had with that woman and with Simon. But it was also a candid conversation that Jesus had with another Pharisee one time named Nicodemus when he said, God sent his only son. God so loved the world, he sent his only son, not to condemn the world, but so that anyone who believes in him may be saved. Maybe you find yourself in the place of Simon and you've lived a good life and it's time to grow in the grace to extend mercy with courage. And maybe you find yourself in the place of the woman where things have not been so good and you've made a ton of bad decisions, but now you're longing for God's grace. Well, Jesus is offering you that grace and that healing and that forgiveness and that love. He's offering it to all of us, whether we're Simon or the woman. And if you want to know more about that grace, more of God's grace and how to receive it, I invite you to have a candid conversation with me. to receive Christ into your life and to live into the courage that God has given you. Because there's a world out there that needs God's love and mercy and grace. And it's up to us to have the candor of courage to live into it. Because the stakes are too high. And we have a lot of work ahead of us in order to do it consistently and to do it well. With ourselves, with our family, with our friends, with our coworkers, and with our neighbors in this world, we have to maintain our courage and a desire to show love in this world that we share. So may we follow the example of Jesus and have the candor of courage to love each other and to love each other well. Amen.